Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The clock is now ticking down on Detroit as the state-appointed review team has at least 60 days to investigate the city's overwhelming financial crisis, after which an emergency financial manager may very well be appointed. To talk about what it will take to avoid that from happening, I'm joined by Treasury Department Director of Communications, Terry Stanton. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know that State Treasurer Andy Dillon, who is on the team, is not going to be talking to the press now that the first meeting has been held. Why has that decision been made?
Well, the review team process is conducted confidentially. It's not open to the or not subject to the Open Meetings Act, I should say. And it's important that the integrity of the process be maintained. So for that reason, review teams, their meetings with city officials or others are not open to the public. We don't do, regular updates on the progress that a review team might be making. Generally, once they're appointed, they conduct their work confidentially. And once they're done with their review, a report is drafted and written up and submitted to the governor. And that will be the case, the situation here. And once that report is submitted, then, of course, it will be made public.
Have we had situations where a review team stepped in and there was the avoidance of an emergency financial manager?
There have been instances where, yes, a review team conducted a review and reached a consent agreement. There was a consent agreement currently is in place in the city of River Rouge. That was implemented following a review team review. There was also a consent agreement in place in the city of Pontiac for, memory serves me right, for about 9 months before it was violated and an emergency manager was eventually put in there. So there are times in which a review team reaches the conclusion that a consent agreement can work and implement that plan.
It's no secret what's going to have to happen here, that some major concessions by the unions in Detroit will have to be made, something that's been clear from the beginning of this process. Are union leaders being too stubborn?
Well, I that's not for me to decide. Clearly, Treasurer and the governor have stated on numerous occasions that they're hopeful that the city can work out its problems, that the administration and city council can reach concessions with organized labor, and that they can come to an agreement that will move the city forward and put it on solid financial footing going forward, not just for the short term, because there is certainly a short-term cash issue, that's looming over the city, but for the long term as well. I mean, the city has what's been estimated is long-term debts of at least $12 billion, that's with a B. So that's pretty expensive long-term debt. So it's not just a short-term fix, but a long-term fix that needs to be implemented as well. So the hope is that the city would be able to reach some sort of plan agreement amongst itself and its labor leaders and be able to move the city forward. That was one of the reasons that this process was started a number of weeks ago. Because it was given the cash flow problem, it was critical that the state kind of run a parallel process along with the city in its effort to devise its own plan to ensure that, if it got to a point where they couldn't reach a deal that would work, that the state would be ready to take action if necessary.
And so they're going to then deal with this $12 billion long-term debt also, you're saying? And so are we really talking about not only just these concessions, but after that, big long-term cuts to the city, right?
Well, perhaps. And again, that's something that the city and the unions and would have to work out and determine, how they move forward under their plan. Again, if that isn't something that can work, and the review team could reach a determination that a consent agreement could possibly be put in place with the city that basically would lay out what steps would have to be taken and programs that would have to be implemented or cuts that would have to be done for the city to continue forward. The review team also could determine that there's a financial emergency and that that an emergency manager is necessary. It's far too early to speculate on what the outcome might be, but those are the three possible outcomes here.
Ahead of the first meeting, Treasurer Dillon said, quote, if the city and labor are to reach a deal on their own, it should be by early February. Now, that is just weeks away. Why does this have to happen so quickly?
Well, the review team was appointed on December 27th, so they have 60 days to report to the governor. So that moves their deadline, if you will, the review team's deadline, to late February. So if indeed the city is going to be able to put their own plan together and get that implemented, that's something that would be considered by the review team, and the team would need some time to look at that. So it wasn't a deadline per se that was put in place by the treasurer. He was simply saying if they're going to do that, and in fact he noted that his hope is that they do, that it's something that would have to be done by early February. But he also indicated during the press briefing that if it gets to February 6th, February 7th, and they're not there yet, but the city indicates another week could get it done, then he believes the right thing to do would be to give them that additional week to try to work out their plan.
I'm talking to State Treasury Department Director of Communication, Terry Stanton. So, Terry, what were to happen if Detroit simply went bankrupt and there was no emergency financial manager to step in? How would that impact the city and the state?
Well, certainly that's the goal here is to keep local units of government from getting to that type of situation. In Michigan, under federal law, under federal bankruptcy law, and I'm not an attorney and would never profess to be, but under federal bankruptcy law, for a local unit of government to enter into bankruptcy, there has to be an empowering statute. The only state law in Michigan that allows that would empower a local unit to do that is Public Act 4 of 2011. So before a local unit could enter into bankruptcy, in essence, an emergency would have to be declared and an emergency manager would have to be appointed and attempt to work through different and various remedies to get the local unit back on its feet. And if any emergency manager's determination, none of those moves would be adequate, then he or she could ask for the state's approval to enter into bankruptcy. Again, that's something that would be far down the road, and I wouldn't want to speculate on that. But certainly the effect of a bankruptcy would not be good for the state, the city, or surrounding local units.
Have we ever had that happen, a city going into bankruptcy?
Not that I'm aware of, not in the state of Michigan. There are some cities around the country that are working through that process now, and it generally is a lengthy and kind of a very difficult process. And in fact, if you have a bankruptcy judge, perhaps who's not even in the state that local unit's in, determining what assets are sold and what programs are cut. And that's a difficult process to work through.
What about the money that Mayor Bing and Detroit state representatives have said the state owes it, hundreds of millions of dollars? Why is that not being given to the city to help them resolve this budget deficit?
You know, there was the state legislature back in the late 90s reached a deal with the city that would allow it to get a certain amount of revenue sharing each year. And a legislature a few years later changed that and changed the revenue sharing structure. A legislature can't bind the hands of a future legislature. So the latter legislature made the revenue sharing changes and that's what was implemented. So, the state really doesn't owe the city that money. The city is correct in saying that had the original agreement remained in place, that money would have gone to the city. But it's also important to point out that there have been a number of steps taken by the administration and the legislature just last year to help the city through some difficult times. There was legislation passed that allowed them to continue to collect income tax revenue at the rate that it had because with a lesser population, the city was going to lose the ability to continue to collect at the current rate. So legislation was passed, and the governor signed it into law that allowed the city to continue to collect that at a higher rate. There was also a utility users tax that was legislation that was passed and signed into law by the governor that ensured that the city of Detroit got some additional utility users tax revenue. And I believe the total there was around $160 million annually. So, clearly the administration and the treasurer understanding of the difficulties faced by the city of Detroit and have, in fact, attempted since January of 2011 to work with the city and help them through this process.
Well, it seems that however things turn out, the prospects for Detroit in the coming years are quite bleak. Isn't the city likely to see a reduction in services and infrastructure continuing to fall apart?
Well, you know, the treasurer and the governor have both said, you know, this is a financial issue, certainly. But because of that, the focus really is on making sure that the citizens of Detroit know that, you know, police and fire departments show up when they call 911, that the street lights are on, that buses show up on time so that if they need to take the bus to get to school or to work or to college, that it's going to be there on time. So it's a financial issue, but it's also a quality of life issue, and that's why it is so very critical. Now, to the first part of your question, you know, there are lots of good and promising things happening in the city of Detroit, and this fiscal crisis can't stop that work. You know, it's the time to work together and to get everybody locking arms and pulling in the same direction, because a fiscally sound Detroit is certainly critical to a fiscally sound Michigan.
Director of Communication at the Treasury Department, Terry Stanton. Terry, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome, Michael. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back with more. Michael Cohen, this is 1320 WILS.